I'm starting. You ready?
Yeah.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, so I can't afford to be. This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm Mike Siegel.
Siegel, back.
Hello.
Back from the trip with the gorillas.
Yep. That was, he's referring to not the people I traveled with, but the fact that I went and saw gorillas in Uganda.
But the people you traveled with too were kind of apes.
Yeah, ape-like. Sure. And what did you tell me before I left? Ape shall not kill ape.
That's right. Ape shall not.
And they did not.
Very good. What about the people?
No, we were all safe as well. Actually, I took out about three of them. That's the reason I went. You didn't know that?
Are you saying that no ape comes into camp and just, and there's no mass shootings among the apes?
No. Nope.
General Orko doesn't come in?
Nope.
All right.
That should tell you how, you know, savage we are compared to the wild animals.
The animals are civilized.
Yeah, humans are a mess.
They lay down their territory. They say, okay, this is our territory. Don't fuck around in here. and then you respect that.
Yeah. For an hour a day, we would find them and then hang out with them. It was great. It was really amazing.
I don't even think you can put it in words. It just seems ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm going through videotape. I have tape. God,
I thought you were going to say you're going through ape withdrawal,
but, just going through the footage that, I mean, there's so much of it and I'm just going, oh man, I remember that. It was just, it was pretty, it doesn't really do it justice. Even as cool as it looks,
no.
It's really amazing just to be around them and just be in their presence. It was really incredible.
I mean, it's like watching one of these Marvel movies. I mean, we look at the spectacle, but it's not like being there in front of a green screen like the actors are.
Right. And if I saw Iron Man right next to me, that would be amazing.
It would be crazy. He wouldn't have that suit on at all. He'd just have dots all over his body.
Yeah, and the thing, that glowing chest.
That's an arc reactor, by the way.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, you should know.
I call it a glowing chest.
Am I
blowing this out because it sounds like I'm... Am I redlining the mic there?
I don't think so.
Okay, hello. One.
No, it's
sound a little distorted there for
it's
a second. Maybe that's just my voice.
Maybe it's your voice. Both down.
I don't know if I was coming in hot.
So I have. I'm doing this with Invisalign in.
You're doing Invisalign?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when did you start that?
I had it at the ball game the other night.
I didn't.
You didn't see me grossly taking it out.
It's invisible lines. How am I supposed to see it?
Every time I wanted to eat a hot dog, I thought I would take it out when I did the podcast. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Now, when you started this, how long ago?
It was 3 weeks yesterday.
Top and bottom.
I only have a thing on the bottom that I want to have fixed, but they said you have to wear it in the top too because your whole bite will be adjusted.
Okay, because I'm looking into this.
Let I know,
and
your
you're going to be my my bottom teeth are a mess. And they're getting more crooked all the time.
All right, those. I mean, here's the deal. Like you have some crooked teeth down there. Let me see your top teeth. This is the weirdest thing. Yeah, those are nice.
The top. Yeah, there's only one like on the top that keeps. Is moving farther back.
I'm happy with my teeth, except I have a space on the bottom that I've always had. But as I'm getting older, it's getting more pronounced. And it's also, there's also a space on the other side of that tooth. So I call it hillbilly tooth. I don't want to have one tooth just like floating in amongst all the other teeth. So that's why I have this.
I get it. Well, how long do you have to wear it?
I think they said until October. End of October.
That's it? So like a few months?
Yeah.
Okay.
You change. Well,
you're not
change.
Doing big project.
No, it's not a big project.
I'd have to leave mine in a long time.
You change them. Well, let me tell you, first of all.
It's expensive too, isn't it?
This is not Invisalign. This is Smile Direct Club.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why. You're a thrifty dude.
Invisalign
was going to be $6,000.
Whoa.
That's too much. For that, I just put a chiclet in that space. So I'm like, well, let me see what knockoff Invisalign is, $1,800.
Right.
So how do you not save $4,200?
Well, time will tell if it works as well.
Well, that's true. That's well, and you'll be the judge, and then I can tell you, do this.
You're my guinea pig on this.
Don't
one.
Do Invisalign. So you change it. They send you all of them together, And then you pull them out. Like, what do I want to say? It's like a roll of tape. You pull one out and you tear it off. And it says like week two. And then you open them and you change.
But how do they know your mouth? Did you have to send them a mold?
Oh, no, no. Mm-hmm. You go into their office and they took like, I think over like 75,000 pictures of my mouth. They put like a camera.
Where's that
in
playing? How can I watch that?
That's
good stuff.
And then they just take this camera everywhere and then they send it to wherever and they make you all the mold. And there's a doctor involved in the process of making the molds.
Okay.
But,
this is probably an off-air conversation.
No, it's interesting. No, because I brought it up because in case my voice sounds weird.
Does it feel weird to talk with it?
It did the first.
I didn't notice.
It did the first four days. It certainly did.
I didn't know you wore it all day long. I thought it was just like something you sleep in.
No, you wear it. You only take it out when you eat. They said you should basically have it in 22 hours a day.
Wow. Okay.
And they tell you when you put a new one in, and when you change them to the new one, it is like, it's like, I don't even think this one's going to go in. And then you just have to work it. And then all of a sudden it'll just click and you're like, all right. But they tell you to change when you're changing over to the new ones, do it at night. Cause then you're going
to
have like 6, 7, 8 hours of just
get used
sleeping.
To it. But it doesn't hurt.
The first ones I put in hurt for like a couple of days. You just take an Advil.
Okay. Whiskey helps.
You crunch up some Advil and then you down it with the whiskey. It's funny because when you say, does it hurt? Was it pain? I mean, compared to what other things?
Right.
No, yeah. Not at all.
Braces, I guess it would be.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Did you have braces as a kid?
Never did. No.
Me neither. I probably should have now.
No.
I'm only saying because it's like mine are like, as they're getting more crooked, they're getting harder to clean. You know, it's harder to brush them. And then I'll smile and it'll be like a dark spot. And it looks like, hillbilly mouth.
Gotcha. Again. Yeah, see?
The light doesn't catch it.
So at the, and then at the end, when it's all done, then you'll have, I guess you'll have a pair that you wear at night.
Okay.
To keep everything.
Like a retainer, like headgear, like.
Yep. It'll have a DirecTV dish on it. It'd be gigantic. So
old school, like 16 candles, headgear.
It's easier to do Paul Stanley though, because I have a little. Let me tell you something. I was going to get Invisalign to have my insides fixed. I didn't want to get braces.
It's harder to sing.
Yeah, if I had braces, I couldn't sing. The light would flash off the braces and people would blind themselves. So, if my voice sounds weird today, if you
said nothing, nobody would have known.
Probably not.
Yeah.
We'll cut all this out. You sat a seat away from me for 7 hours at a ball game and didn't notice.
No, I was looking at the, we had an earthquake. I'm going to notice your teeth.
We did have an earthquake.
We sat through an earthquake at a Dodger game.
We just laughed at
it. And LA just kind of went on.
The game didn't stop.
20 seconds. They stopped. Should I hold the pitch for, oh, yep. And he just went in.
He just, yeah.
Just went, ball two.
Yeah, look, if an earthquake is just like that, it's kind of fun. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a little scary because you don't know where it hit. You know, right. We were like, if that hit in Vegas and we felt it here, then Vegas is screwed.
Right.
Because that was like 6 point something.
I'm saying it's not fun if you're at the epicenter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
I'm saying when it just like that little rocking, you're like, okay, the ground, it's kind of, because everyone's kind of like giggling, like, oh no. But yeah, if the building pancakes on top of you,
not as fun.
No, or you're driving over an underpass and it collapses. No.
Right. Well, apparently it knocked out the air conditioning in here.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. There's no air conditioning in here right now,
dude.
My wife has a big class tomorrow, like 20, 25 people, and luckily the landlord's on premises and he's hopefully going to get that fixed today. Yeah,
and it just happened to be 90. What's the temperature outside?
It's like 95 degrees.
What is it at your house? It's got to be even hotter.
It was
right?
95 at our house.
Oh, man. So,
let me see what the.
We might have to change this to your. You got AC at your house, right? You
it says it's 80. It's 84 right here.
No way.
That's what it says. Studio City. Oh. And it says unhealthy air quality.
Oh, yeah. That I believe. I totally believe that.
I'm glad we're in here.
Yeah.
Is it better inside? No.
No. All right. The air quality is getting worse. The more we talk.
When you were over in London, did you think about looking up April Richardson? There's a name you can't say with Invisalign.
Yes.
Richardson.
Richardson. Yes, I did. I wrote her, and I will say this, I love April.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I wrote her a month before I was going, hey, I'm going to be in town, have 3 days free.
Yeah.
When I meet her, I'm staying right in London. She's down in Brighton.
Yeah.
I said, I can go down there. I've been to Brighton before.
How far is Brighton from
London? It's like a half hour, 45 minutes on the train.
Okay.
You know, maybe an hour tops.
Okay.
And but I had a day free or,
sure.
You know, I'd go down there.
Have you been to Brighton?
Yeah,
before?
I have. It's, okay. It's you know, it's by the sea. It's nice.
That's where I wrote my beach memoirs.
Yeah. And never heard back from her. Never heard back at all on an email.
Interesting.
Then a week before I was coming in, I was in Italy and I said, hey, I'm coming in next week again. I wrote her on Instagram because she was posting stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
No response, nothing. Huh. And it wasn't until 3 days after I got home, she wrote me back, hey, I was in Hawaii and LA when you were here. And
she was in LA?
Yeah. So she didn't contact you?
She didn't contact me.
Didn't even respond to me saying, hey, I won't be in town, but yeah, we'll try to get next time.
Well, that's sad.
It is.
But maybe,
I tried.
She seems like she's off the grid.
I know, but.
Like there's no Facebook, right?
There's Instagram posts. So I thought Instagram would be a good way to message.
Yeah. I would just contact her husband, Martin Rossi.
Yeah, maybe I'll have better luck there. So no, I did not get to see her. I did get to see friend of the show, Dara.
Yes, Dara McGarry.
And, I had a great time. Went to Wimbledon, which was fantastic.
And you saw the men's final.
I did not see the men's final.
What did you see?
I saw the first day, so July 1st. So I just got, stood in the queue, bought a ticket for £25, which is like $32, and had the run of the grounds. I couldn't go to center court or the first courts one or two, but there's 18 courts. You could just walk around.
It's crazy.
And I saw games everywhere. I'll just, you know, men's and women's singles just playing everywhere. And you could just like reach out and touch them. It was great.
Now, I've been to Wimbledon proper, you know, visited the
grounds. The grounds. Walked around.
Yes, walked around, did the tour underneath.
Oh, okay.
Got a mug at the gift shop.
Right.
But when we were there, there were no matches going on.
Oh, it was really cool.
It's very impressive. If you live in the north side of Chicago and you know how you just all of a sudden you're walking and all of a sudden, boom, there's Wrigley Field. It's kind of what this is like.
Yeah, it's just in a neighborhood.
It's just a neighborhood. And then
it's a tennis club in a neighborhood. Yeah.
It's a quaint little neighborhood, too.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. And by the way, you know, a beer at Dodger Stadium, what do we pay? $14.50 for a beer. A beer at Wimbledon, $7.50.
Yeah.
$7.50.
Yeah. That Brexit works.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what Brexit means.
No, Dodgers are, you know.
It's
criminal what they charge.
It is criminal. And there's no beer that's going to be $14.50 good.
No, not at all.
No, there's no hot dog. There's no caramel corn. Nothing's going to be that.
A beer and a Dodger dog, $22.
It was insane. And I got a beer, a Dodger dog, and then I went stupid. I got fries, $27.50. Okay, if you have four kids.
Oh, forget it. Forget it. $25 to park.
Yeah, and we're complaining, and we got in free.
We got free tickets. And if I don't have free tickets, I'm not going. Forget it.
I'm not going either if I don't have free tickets.
And speaking of Dodger Stadium, who's playing there tomorrow? Paul McCartney.
Sir Paul McCartney.
And neither of us are going?
I can't go to Dodger Stadium.
I know it's awful.
Yeah.
But if somebody gave us free tickets.
Yes, I'd go. Does someone have them?
I don't know.
By the time
this
drops.
What would you pay? If you're 20, 25?
To see Paul McCartney?
Yeah, 50?
I guess I would pay $100 to see him. Like if someone said.
We might be able to find something.
But I don't think I can go tomorrow.
All right.
Are you going to
fix this air conditioning?
Wait, are you going to go over there?
I don't know. I might take a flyer and look online and see if I can get something.
All right. Well, okay. Well, if you're going to do that, call me.
All right.
Because then I can tell Pilar, hey, Mike got tickets.
Hey,
Mike got tickets.
We go on our end of life tour. I just saw Elton John. Yeah.
I told, but McCartney's not on a retirement tour.
No.
So he'll be up.
He'll play till he dies. I think he will.
Yeah. Elton's like very maudlin. Thank you. I'm leaving.
And by the way, Elton's tour, 2 years. It doesn't end until 2020. No.
And that doesn't mean he's not going to do a Vegas run or shows. It just means he's not going to world tour anymore. So Pilar and I went to see Chrissy Hynde at the
Bowl.
At the Hollywood Bowl. Got free tickets. We were in a terrace box. Wasn't a garden box like we had.
Okay. You sound like a terrorist box.
We were in a terrorist box.
Is that your Invisalign talking?
You know, what's funny is we were in the box and another guy came and got in the box behind us, and then her and I went to get some food, and when we came back, he was gone, but he left his bag there, and I actually called security over.
Oh, really?
Because I go, hey, there was a guy here, but he left his bag, and I don't...
Did they take the bag? They lift it out?
No, they go, oh, thanks for letting us know. No, and then we sat there with a bomb until he returned.
How does she sound?
She sounds exactly like she always has sounded.
Amazing. That's great.
It is amazing. Like, it's like, you're not just like, she sounded pretty good. You know, it was like, wow, that is exactly how she sounds.
And this is a solo. This is not Pretenders.
No, this was a one-off.
Okay.
It was with the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra. She has a jazz standards album coming out.
Oh.
And so she sang like seven of those with the orchestra and with her band. And then she closed out the first set with, I think, Brass in Pocket. And she came back out. It took an intermission, came back out, did three more jazz standards, and then boom, nine Pretender songs to close it out.
Sweet. It was Martin great. Chambers?
No, because it was a Chrissy Hynde solo show.
Okay.
So, so I get these free tickets. I get them from the Hollywood Bowl. I get them from the orchestra people for review. So I thought they'd be pretty good. So,
like our Hall & Oates seats?
Yeah, but we were in the garden there. We were weird terrace. So they weren't.
So you're right above the walkway, like the big walkway.
Right, but in a box.
Those are nice.
It was great. So so I say to Pilar, I go, hey, I just got these free tickets, and it's to it's Chrissy Hynde at the Hollywood Bowl, you know, July 6th. There might be fireworks. It's going to be with an orchestra. She's going to play jazz standards. You want to go to that? And she goes, nah, I'm okay. So then I go, okay, I'm going to call Chip. And I called Chip because we had just talked about going to a show. So I called Chip. And as I'm explaining it to Chip, I was getting into it a lot more because I was like, yeah, we're probably going to be in a box.
And you sold it.
I sold it. And then I hang up the phone and I look at Pilar and she goes, well, you didn't tell it to me like that. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, you made it sound like an amazing night. I go, oh, I'm sorry. She goes, I would really like to go to that. I'm like, okay. I go, you have to call Chip. So I called literally 2 minutes after I told him. And then she said, you know, she wants to go. He said, that's cool. Now, Chip would have hated this show. Right. Pilar loves jazz standards.
Oh.
And she likes the Pretenders. She likes Chrissy Hynde.
So she had a good time.
No, she loved it.
Oh, that's great.
It was a perfect night for us.
Oh, nice.
So, all right. We got 17 minutes. You
17
ready?
Minutes. I didn't come here for Invisalign talk.
Yeah, I didn't know we were in a date night talk.
About what a Dodger dog costs in Wimbledon.
I don't care what 50-year-olds do when they go on a date. I don't want to hear about your free tickets to the Dodger game and to a concert.
I tuned in for Grant Parker.
I almost don't want to go anywhere unless it's for free.
I know.
This is what's crazy about Hollywood. Like, we're in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But, you know, we get into free stuff. I mean, the celebrities get into everything free.
Everything.
And they can afford it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. You've been to David Wilde has told me
about these. Yeah.
What they get in their gift bags is ridiculous. And yeah. I did this once. I went to, they have whole gifting houses where you just go, they'll rent a house and all the products are there. And then basically they can just walk in. And just shop. Just pick whatever they want.
For free.
Yeah.
Load up your bag.
Give it away. Yeah.
AirPods, iPads.
Clothes, shoes, jewelry.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. They get everything for free.
Wow.
The ones who least need it get everything for free. Yeah.
Yeah. The rich. Tax
capitalism,
breaks.
Man.
All right.
Tax them.
Here we go. Graham.
Put their head on a stick. If Graham was here, he'd say that.
I was going to say if Graham Parker was here, he'd say that. Graham Elwood, a lot of Graham talk.
Graham, yeah.
Okay, Graham Parker.
Now, did you get into him through my CDs that I left at your house?
Yeah,
because I told you to.
Then I bought everything. I mean, I always liked a smattering of the hits.
Okay, well, how did you hear him first? Because the way I got into him was like late '80s, early '90s, through WXRT in Chicago used to play him on the playlist, and they were really the only radio station that would play him. He did not get much outside of college radio and small watt, you know, independent stations.
It was MTV, definitely.
He never broke through on classic rock.
No.
Even though he...
It doesn't make sense.
So should have.
And he sounds... It's not like... He sounds like Elvis Costello, kind of.
Well, there's no way to go through an overview of his career without coming back to the fact that I don't know why this didn't sell. It just didn't take off. The timing couldn't have been worse. In terms of the world was ready for one angry young Brit with glasses, and it was Elvis Costello, and they came out right around the same time.
Yeah, it's and
both produced by Nick Lowe.
Yeah. I guess we call it pub rock. Do we call it pub rock?
Well, with him it was pub rock, and then Elvis kind of got put into like almost punk, and then new wave.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that helped him I mean, Elvis had great songs too. Yeah.
But then Elvis
after, and Joe Jackson got put in there too as well. And
but both Joe Jackson and Elvis, they would change their styles up then.
Yeah.
But Graham just does what he does, but it's great. He's a great singer-songwriter.
He just never had that one hit. Even Nick Lowe had Cruel to Be Kind.
Yeah.
You know, he just needed that one, and he just never.
I mean, the Playout song is the one. The Playout, I'll just... It's Local Girls.
Okay.
Because you didn't pick it.
I didn't pick it, but...
And I thought, well, if he doesn't pick it, then that'll be the
Was that as high as... Charting one? I don't think I had a couple that.
Let me look.
Maybe.
Let me see if we even have. If they, let's see. Okay.
Here I thought maybe my number 7 or 9.
Yeah. Even when your Wikipedia page isn't that, you know. Let me see. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't.
But you look at any kind of biography of him, any kind of. There's a documentary I saw on YouTube about him.
Local Girls didn't even. I mean, it says Hold Back the Night went to 58, and it says Wake Up Next to You went to 39.
Okay. I brought those in.
So you had one top 40 hit.
39, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, and but and also reading like Rolling Stone because well, we'll get to all this, but they had one album for sure always gets in the top, you know, 500 rock albums of all time
and squeezing like, out sparks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, okay.
So it's just it is what it is, but he's great
it's
and
a
we
tough saw, business, man.
I only it's saw him tough. Once. I saw him with you.
Yeah.
We saw him at the Roxy.
That's right.
It was a show to promote This Is 40.
This Is 40?
The Judd Apatow movie.
Yeah, where he kind of makes fun of his own career.
Yeah, because he's in it.
Yeah.
David Wilde's in the movie too, I think.
Oh, is he?
I think he is.
Because
I think that was before we knew David.
Well, Judd Apatow is obviously a big fan, and he was writing this movie and thinking, okay, we need an old guy who we can't sell records. You know, the guy plays...
Right.
Plays a record executive and he basically mortgages his house to banks it all on Graham Parker just because he's a fan.
Judd came over and looked through my record collection and said, oh, any of these guys would work. So yeah, I got into Graham Parker because of you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Well, and you liked it.
I love it.
Yeah.
And let's see if we can get people into Graham Parker. So the first album's 1976, Graham Parker and The Rumor.
Howlin' Wind with Brinsley Schwartz on guitar.
Nick Lowe on producing.
Mm-hmm.
All songs written by Graham Parker.
Yep.
And I'm going to let you start. What do you got for me?
Okay. I think this is the lead track. And so this would be the first song he did on his first album. This is White Honey. So the way I would sell, like, especially we're going to go into the first few albums, like the first three or four albums, if you're into like 70s Bruce Springsteen, you can see the similarities right there. It's
sure.
An easy crossover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're a Bruce fan to just go into, I would say any of these 70s albums.
Yep. I bet Bruce is a big fan.
Yeah. And he is. And we'll get to that a little later.
All right. Now, my song off of Howlin' Wind is Between You and Me.
And this first album is great.
It's great.
Up top to bottom. All I knew were the lights in the harbor. All I saw were the flash in my head, yeah. And that's all that's left between you and me, oh yeah. Say that's all that's left between you. You went on a deeper cut because there's a lot more rocking stuff on there.
Yeah, there is. But I wanted to get, I didn't want everything to sound the same either. You know what I mean?
Right. I think Don't Ask Me Questions is a song that is, I don't know if that's on that first one. Is it? But that's kind of a song that he's always kind of known for.
Yeah,
as
that
well.
Closes it out.
Yeah. But
right.
It's a great debut album.
Yeah, it is a great debut album. That's White Honey. And I think before we go to that, no, we're going to the next one. Never mind what I was going to say.
That was 76. And this also came out, the second album came out in 76 as well.
Yep.
Two albums in a year, back when they did that.
This is produced by Mutt Lange.
Is it?
Yes.
That I didn't know.
How crazy is that? I mean, except for one track. One track, track 7, which is Backdoor Love. We know what that's about.
Hey.
That was produced by Nick Lowe.
Okay.
So, yeah, Robert John Mutt Lange, who produced AC/DC and Def Leppard and Shania Twain. And
so two of the best producers out of the gate.
Yeah, are working on his first two albums.
And this preceded Elvis Costello's debut a year.
Yeah.
And preceded, I think...
Two albums predated
Elvis. Yeah, and Joe Jackson's like by 2 years.
Yeah. There's also a song on Heat Treatment called Black Honey.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what's going on there. Equal Opportunity, Honey.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you got for us?
I brought in a song where I usually listen to the live version of this that's on a later album that he played solo, but this is the actual original of it, and this is called Hotel Chambermaid.
And Rod Stewart does an excellent cover of this.
Does he?
He really does. Here we go.
I'm not surprised at it.
That's got Bruce all over it.
Oh, sure. I was surprised going through all these and going through his career, and when you see how many good songs he has, that more people haven't covered them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Well, here, I'm going to play a little bit of this Rod Stewart. Now, I'm playing it from iTunes, so I don't know where it's going to drop us in, but let's find out.
I never heard this.
Right?
Fun.
They're talking about banging around with the hotel chambermaid. Because that's what you can do when you're a rock star.
Yeah, the Black Crowes could have done something with that, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Any rock band could have. Great White could have knocked that out of the park.
They're too busy making
fire.
Muppet.
Oh, come on. Sorry, Jack White.
That's nice.
Jack White?
Nice. No. Jack White is from the...
I know. What was the guest of this show?
Oh, Jack Russell.
Jack Russell.
Jeez, you caught me off guard.
Yeah.
All right. I went with the title track. It's called Heat Treatment.
This is a good one.
Now when the sun fades out and the streetlights rise, news makes print and a baby cries, that's when you might find me waiting on the day. Uh-huh, baby, I'm wasting away.
I mean, that's E Street Band stuff, yeah, right?
Totally.
There.
With the horns and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
Bruce has always been a fan. Too.
Yeah, for sure. I want to read the text that you and I both got a text. We play poker once a month, usually on a Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, and this is an odd Friday.
Yeah,
booking.
This month it's on a Friday, and we play it at Chip Chinnery's house. And Chip sent us a group text that says, no earlier than 7:30, please. I am taking a nap after my long day of travel.
How old are we? My God. He needs a nap.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Is it?
Guys.
Is it unbelievable? Guys.
Guys, please. I'll play, but I need to catch some Z's.
And by the way, his long way of travel, where was he coming from? Like Northern California. He came from like the Bay Area. That's an hour flight.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
It's
drive.
A 1 hour flight.
He didn't drive
I just flew
home.
From Africa, for God's sake.
And you went to the Dodger game.
Yes.
You were wiped out.
I was tired.
You fell asleep in the car on the way home.
By the seventh inning, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
I was praying for another earthquake.
There was no stretch.
No.
All right. Before we jump to the third album, he released this thing. I don't know if it was an EP or if it was a single called The Pink Parker. You see what it is. It's an EP.
It's a live thing, isn't it?
I don't think it's this track. I don't think's live, but this is a song called Hold Back the Night. Do you know this song?
That's on another album. I think this is a compilation or live or something.
It says EP. I'm going to play it anyway.
Hold back the night. sun right out of my sky. Yes, you did. Wonder why you went away and never told me why. When the sun goes down, the moon is near. I'm scared to death because your face is clear. Hold back the night.
Again, I can't unhear Bruce Springsteen.
I know.
It's kind of crazy.
Double check that, because I believe that's on one of the first two albums.
Let me check. I'll check it. I'm not afraid to check it. Check it before you wreck it.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Okay, let me see.
It's an EP.
Yeah. The Pink Parker is an EP. Hold Back the Night is not on the first album. And is it on Heat Treatment? It is not on Heat Treatment. And then the third album from 77 is called Stick to Me. And it's not on that either. So I think it's just on this EP.
Maybe that was a something to sell. Right. And by the way, there's no way to talk about his career without talking about battles with labels. I mean, he's gotten... So the first three, we'll get to it
first
in a bit.
First three
on
Vertigo, Mercury.
Mercury.
And
the next one was Stick to Me.
Stick to Me, produced by Nick Lowe, to bottom.
77. So now you got to look at the context as well that, okay, so punk is like breaking out now.
Mm-hmm.
In England.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of like, I don't know if it's uncool.
Is it
or
passe?
Is it, well, I don't know. It's for the, it's for the rockers who didn't like punk, I guess. But it's really mainline. But this is very accessible to U.S. ears, though. Mm-hmm. And it still didn't transfer.
I don't know
if his looks hurt. I think his looks hurt him as well.
Well, I mean.
He's not a cool looking guy, and he's not a good looking guy.
Elvis Costello and Joe Jackson aren't cool looking.
Yeah, but Elvis had that. Maybe he had a much cooler name and easier to remember name, Elvis Costello. And he had a look. You know, Elvis had a look. It was almost hipster kind of.
Like Graham Parker, he was never on Saturday Night Live. You never saw him.
And that's, you got to look at management. And again, maybe his beefs with the label are legit, that he never got on those things.
Yeah.
And Elvis got thrown off it.
Yeah. They fucked up with promoting
this
guy.
They did. And so you can understand his bitterness, I guess.
Does he have any money, you think? Like, does he
Well, I saw this documentary. He's been living in upstate New York for a long time, like right around Woodstock, I think, around there. And he still tours, but a lot of times he does it solo.
Yeah.
You know, just him and a guitar to keep his overhead down.
But I wonder, I mean, like, is he, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I don't know if these guys...
He did get married, and he has at least one daughter, I believe.
Okay.
And so a lot of his stuff in the 90s, we'll get to, is a lot of it's about family. And
yeah. And we're only going in, we're only doing 70s, 80s, and 90s, because there's so much.
Because we're going to about 96, I think, was his last album. And then after that, it's a lot of like self-produced, and it's tons of live stuff, and it's just kind of rehashing. And
But this is really
him and a guitar in his basement.
But all this stuff is really the Elvis Costello, the Graham Parker sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
If you're introducing yourself to him, there's a later one we'll get to. But I mean, the 70s stuff is a really good way to get in.
And have we hit your favorite album yet?
Well, the first is one of my favorite albums. Okay. And then we're going to get to we haven't. Right.
Me neither. Mine is coming up in a while.
Where are we at? To 77, we're Stick to Me.
Stick to Me, produced by Nick Lowe. And what's your song?
This is Thunder and Rain. You got to think when. So, Born to Run came out 75.
Thunder Road and Thunder and Rain.
Yeah. And so, but the sound is so similar, and you can almost picture like Joe Jackson singing that too. I think their cadence and the way they speak or something and sing is very similar.
And again, these are still credited to Graham Parker and The Rumor.
The Rumor.
That doesn't really flow off your tongue. The Rumor.
Yeah. Elvis Costello and the Attractions. That's not.
I think The Rumor, it should be plural. It should be Elvis. It should be Graham Parker and The Rumors.
Well, maybe we didn't like it because it was spelled with a U, UK style.
But you know what I mean?
USA rejected it.
The attractions indicates that it's the band. So, and there's more than one person in the band. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now I think you're kind of splitting hairs here.
I think this is the reason.
You're nitpicking. I think that's the reason it didn't take.
This is the reason. Okay. I love this song. This song was actually on that This Is 40 soundtrack.
Oh, which one is this?
This is Watch the Moon Come Down.
Oh, this is a great song.
I actually thought
I played this on this show before.
I'm sure you have. Doesn't never stopped us.
I think maybe it was a moon song or Sun and Moon or something.
Yeah. Carrie Scott will let us know. She keeps the Rock Solid database going.
This dirty town, there's nothing going for me. No shows going down that I would want to see. Nothing but the midnight train. In this shady street, on a top floor flat, women take their sheets down to the laundromat. And as the night falls on this town, I'm going to watch the moon come down.
I love the imagery. Yeah. I love songs where you can see exactly what's happening.
And he's a great lyric writer, too. Some of my favorite lyrics are coming up. And he's a great writer.
Yeah.
And so now by this point, I don't know. So that's two songs from. The end of his Mercury contract.
Yes.
And he's begging to get out of it because he can't figure out why.
Yep.
And now he's watching Elvis Costello get some traction and get on TV. And he's like, what the hell? He can't break through America. And from what I'm hearing, because he's a great live performer. And back then, he was really kind of high energy all over the stage. And the band was really great. And on in a live setting, and they would come here and have to open for, get booed by people, be the opening act for somebody. He's like, we're dying here. We can't get on the radio. He'd go to the record store, and the records weren't in the store. It was like Spinal Tap stuff.
Why didn't they pair up like artists together? Like, why would they be like, Graham Parker, you're gonna open for Kiss? That doesn't work.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, it was just
Or is it just like, well, we don't want to diminish from the headliner if we have two guys that are similar. I don't know how.
Right. Well, I think he was touring like college towns. That's where they would kind of put him in, because that's where he was getting on the radio. And finally, just like, I'm not selling records in these college towns. It's like, we got to break big. When am I playing New York?
My brother told me he went to Clarion College his freshman year. It's upstate Pennsylvania.
I played it.
You probably did.
It's small enough that I think I probably played it.
So this was 1976, and it was Friday night, and Billy Joel is playing, and he goes, it was $5.
Yeah.
None of us knew who he was, and none of us went. He goes, the next year, we were like, that's the guy that was here last year.
Right.
The Stranger comes out the next. I mean, at that point, he has 4 or 5 albums.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Piano Man's out. I mean, Captain Jack, you had to know those songs. But
didn't Piano Man kind of hit later in his life, in his career?
I believe that it did.
Like
it
hit like 3 years after it came out or something like that.
Yeah, it got some FM radio play.
Yeah.
All right, we're on Arista Records, produced by Jack Nitschke, but I can't find out.
Nietzsche? Yeah.
Nitschke?
So there's a gap there. So this is 79, I think. And this is Squeezing Out Sparks, right? So this is his new label. He's got a lot to prove.
And this might be the most popular. If he has a popular album,
if people consider like his greatest album, this is the one that's always, and this is the one that always makes the top 100 or 500 greatest rock albums.
But it's
of all
no
time.
Better than anything that we just played, in my opinion.
No, and also this is the first I ever heard of him, because reading one of those lists, I was like, who is this guy? Because it was always name check this album, but top to bottom, it's great.
It is great.
I would say it's a great starter for people if they want to. If you don't just get a compilation. Rhino did a great 2-disc compilation.
Yeah, and that's...
That's the one I gave you, which is a great starter, too. So I brought in... Which one did I bring? Oh, Discovering Japan. This is one of the bigger songs on that.
She can't escape the feeling, repeating in her head.
Cool song.
It's a great song. And again, these songs are, you know, written by Graham Parker.
Yep.
No, I don't see many collaborations here.
And he also had the biggest FU ever to a record company on that song Mercury Poisoning, which I played on this show before.
Yes.
I've got a dinosaur for a representative. It's got a small brain and refuses to learn. That's one of my favorite, Ooh, that's Burning a Bridge.
Right on the head. Nails it. from Squeezing Out Sparks, 1979, I went with You Can't Be Too Strong.
Oh, you know what this is about.
I don't. What's it about?
Well, here, play it.
Just a mistake.
I'm going to start it over.
It's just a mistake. I won't have to face. Don't give it a name. Don't give it a place. Don't give it a chance. It's lucky in a way. It must have felt strange to find me inside you. I had unintended to stay. If you want to keep it right, put it to sleep at night. Squeeze it until it could say, you can't be too strong. You can't be too strong.
What am I missing?
That is a about abortion.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you picked the biggest downer on the whole album.
I like it, though.
It's very...
I like it. That's in my treadmill tunes.
Oh, no, what is it?
No, it's not.
We're playing more of the mellow one. This is kind of a rock. There's so many rocking songs on there.
Oh, we'll get to some rock.
Okay.
The playouts from this album.
All right.
Okay, we're moving on to 1980, The Up Escalator.
So anyway, this one... Anyway, but any Squeezing Out Sparks, it got tons of critical praise.
Yeah.
And it still didn't break it. He's like, God damn it. What do I got to...
I know. When do you give up?
You don't. I mean, but this time he's about to turn 30. And
30, too old.
Yeah. So he was born in 1950. So now he goes, and you think the genius pairing for his next album. Okay, we're going to pair you with Jimmy Iovine.
Iovine.
Jimmy Iovine.
Yep.
Bruce's producer. It seems like okay, now we're going to put you with Bruce's producer.
Yeah.
And so they did an album, The Up Escalator. And it still didn't break him through.
It's crazy.
And it's got great songs on it, too.
Jimmy Iovine has produced Stevie Nicks, U2, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Seger.
And also a lot of people's reviews of this, though, online, they say the production is kind of muddy. They think he took like the bite out of the band, which I don't see, but
well, this is the last,
a lot of people thought of that.
This is the last one that's... for a while that's credited to The Rumor.
Yeah, and then after this, he jettisons the band.
Yeah, because he's like, I can't make any money with you guys.
Right.
We have Springsteen's on this album.
This
is Danny Federici, Rock and Peace, Danny Federici.
Mm-hmm.
Federici plays organ. What song did you pick?
I picked number five, Stupefaction. So this is...
Is that a word? Is that a word he made up?
I think it is.
Here we go.
The sun is burning, it never changes. The people look up with nothing in their eyeballs. They stare at billboards as if for guidance. There's something wrong here.
Oh, yeah, I like this lyric.
The lights are green, or is that my imagination? The people sit there, cameras without action. I can't see the point, but I see the attraction. And the same thing, same way, every day.
I can't see the point, but I see the attraction. I love that.
I love that, too. And I don't know if I don't hate the production on that.
I know. I don't. People want to find something to bitch about, but.
Yeah, the production's what hurt them, guys.
Yeah. But I brought two from here just because I brought the one with Bruce sings on it.
Oh, did you? Oh, yes, you did. Okay, let's hear that. Endless Night.
Endless Night. You can hear Bruce in the background.
Here, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a little background vocal.
How many times?
Probably four.
Had to walk, but got trampled. Had the taste, it was sampled. I had the engine dismantled. Had the flame, but no candle. Turns on the endless night. That turns on the endless
See, that could have been on the river.
Yes. I'm surprised Bruce didn't like write a song for him, or I'm surprised Bruce never produced him or something.
I know.
I guess this is as close as
yeah, Jimmy
get.
Ivey, and you got yeah. him.
All right, I took a song. I picked No Holding Back.
Oh, that's a good one.
Someone call me from across the ocean to find a weak link in my devotion. They can shoot hot knives or down the line. I just slam it down every time. I got the telephone jammed in my ear. They're still talking, but I don't hear. Oh, don't defend when my heart starts to attack.
So this album went to number 11 in Australia, so maybe he goes and tours down there.
I'm sure he did.
All right, you're going to go feed the meter?
I got to feed the... No, I got to go move it out of permit parking.
You should be able to park in back now.
Okay.
All right, moving on. The next album, it's just credited to Graham Parker, Another Gray Area.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I thought like he got a big hit off of him, but like when we say a big hit...
For him.
It's like not a hit. It's like an FM hit, or it's like an MTV staple for a while.
I don't remember. Was it on MTV? I don't even know if it was.
That's where I think I saw it and heard it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The song that I'm talking about, which you have. You want to introduce it?
Yes. This is one of my favorite songs of his. This is Temporary Beauty.
You have to do your best to come up to par. Come straight out the production line like a car.
This one's very hard to find on CD. Someone sent me a copy of this quite a while ago.
Another Gray Area?
Yes. So that's, and you can hear that the doesn't sound great. It sounded a little
right.
muddy. So
that's off a compilation.
Well, I took it off of what I had in my iTunes.
Oh, okay.
So if anyone has this album on CD and wants to transfer it to me, that would be great.
That doesn't sound, why wouldn't it be out? I mean, it was still.
It's just hard to find. It's hard to get. It's like out of print. Like it's. Like no reissue label has, that to my knowledge, has picked this one up. So, and Mike, they don't pick it up because they don't sell.
I know. This time, was this on a different label? This was like, I think he's by this time on like on his third or fourth label.
It says US and Canada. He's still on Arista. And this is co-produced by Graham Parker and Jack Douglas.
Yeah.
Here comes someone. Hold on.
Hello.
Sorry.
Hi, come on in. All right, so we stopped down for a second there. Jonathan came in, the air conditioning guy.
Yeah, let's hope he knows his business.
Yeah, he better. All right, let me get...
losing weight sitting here.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, that'd be great.
How do we lose weight podcasting?
Just sweat it out.
We're just drinking water. We're not eating candy or drinking beers.
I was going to have a coffee and then forget it. Out.
On poker day, do you like kind of refrain during
from
the day?
From eating crap?
Yeah.
I think about it because we know how much crap we're going to eat later on.
So much crap.
I know, and I had a burrito for lunch, and I'm thinking, I should have thought of that.
I had a sandwich on that ciabatta bread. So.
Carbon it up.
Mike Schmidt will bring, what he'll do is he'll come.
Dude, I brought a wedding cake.
No, but his new thing is to find chips that are like a crazy flavor, or like M&Ms that are a crazy flavor. And then he just like, he won't let us see what it is, and he empties it into a bowl. This is not like a serious game of poker,
no.
People. It's actually, we call it playing cards.
What was the last chips he brought? It was Old Bay seasoning. It was like crab flavored.
Yeah,
and Baltimore crab flavored.
Who did Chip guess? Did you guess potatoes?
No.
Chip said it's potatoes, right?
It's like, it's all potatoes, Chip.
Yeah, it's a potato chip. You dummy. All right, Another Gray Area, co-produced by Jack Douglas.
Okay, I played Temporary Beauty.
And I'm going to play...
Which is the closest thing you passed to a hit in this 30-something? What did it get to?
Let me think. Where did it get to? Let me look up the singles. Hold on.
And this is 82. So if you're saying there's a video, I'm believing you, but I don't remember.
That got to number 50 in the UK and didn't chart anywhere else.
Oh, Jesus. Really? Didn't? Yeah. Nothing in the US?
No, nothing. Okay. Nothing. Ridiculous.
Poor guy.
My song is Can't Waste a Minute. Fun.
Yeah. And now I think this is another guy where MTV comes in and it hurts a guy like him. He is not a video person. Just like Joe Jackson is not a video guy, but even Joe got a couple on there, but
he did videos.
But he didn't really feature and he had like three videos.
I mean, is Elton John a video guy?
But he was already established. He was always a mega superstar before.
Mega superstar. Invisalign.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, a lot of rockers aren't great looking.
I know, but Rod Stewart was a guy who really embraced...
Well, Rod Stewart's great.
He embraced video, and he's cool looking Rod Stewart. He's a front man.
I gotta be honest, he's still cool looking for his age.
He is.
That hair is still rocking.
And Graham was never cool looking.
No.
And that hurt him. That hurt him, I think.
Yeah.
Especially as the 80s roll around and, you know, just like his kind of crowd didn't care about MTV, probably fought MTV, you know, for a while. Like the Bruce crowd, they're like, I remember when Dancing in the Dark came out, Bruce is going to make a video? He's selling out, man.
It's a terrible video.
Yeah. He's dancing.
It's so bad.
He's lifting weights. Pulls Courtney Cox out of the,
His hair looks bad in that video. It's just kind of like parted on the side. It just doesn't look like.
And yet his biggest album ever.
Yep.
Yeah.
He made tons of it. He made like six videos for that.
Mm-hmm.
Glory Days is a good video.
Oh, well, he's throwing a baseball.
Hey,
want to play catch?
Then that one, I'm on Fire, when it has like the little acting part at the beginning.
I don't remember that.
And the woman drops the keys off and he holds out his hand. Look at this video. Bruce's hand, when she's handing the keys to him, it's like his hand is so stiff. It's like, it doesn't look
his
like.
His hand's a bad actor.
Yes. His hand is not a good actor. We're moving on to The Real Macaw. The Real Macaw is the next album.
This is the first album that I don't go back to really that much. And I don't know. I think they started to slip in some 80s production. You know, there's a little bit of synth, I think. And it's just...
So funny, David Kirschenbaum produced this. He produced the first two Joe Jackson albums.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems a little slicker and... because he doesn't have the rumor with him at this point. He's usually mostly studio guys.
He has Brinsley Schwartz there.
Yeah, he'll come back every once in a while.
Still writing all the songs himself.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got for us?
This is You Can't Take Love for Granted.
This was a single.
Yeah.
His best songs can't get any respect.
No, this is more jazzy kind of thing.
Here we go. Though.
Yeah.
See, I'm going
to
pull
something about the drum sound. It sounded very 80s to me. I don't know.
I'm going to listen
almost
to this
like
one
Phil
this
Collins
week.
Was hitting it.
I'm going to listen to this one this week now because you said that. Because I haven't listened to this for a long time. Okay, my song from The Real Macaw. And it's got a macaw on the front with a pair of sunglasses on its head.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I like that album cover. I remember
it's a little Buffett-like.
When this came out, I thought this had some good reviews. Maybe I'm wrong.
You could be right.
Who knows?
I don't know. I wasn't as jazzed about it.
Here we go. Just Like a Man from The Real Macaw. Just like a man, let just like a man.
I like it.
Jazzy? Not jazzy.
Not
you
jazzy.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rocking?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to Stitty.
U.S. didn't want anything to do with them.
Nothing. What label are we on for that? Still Arista. They're still hanging in there.
They're still hanging in. I think this is the last one with them.
All right. We're going to move on to Steady Nerves. Yeah, this is a... This is Elektra Records gives him a shot.
Elektra, okay.
And William Whitman produces this. I think he worked with the Hooters and Cyndi Lauper.
That's and, very 80s.
And Scandal, maybe.
Ooh, yeah.
So,
this is of its time.
Definitely.
So this is 85, smack dab in the middle of the 80s.
But
you got Hall & Oates kicking ass everywhere on MTV. Hair metal. Where are we going to fit in?
But I say it's a big song, but it's not a big song. But I mean, the song you're going to play was popular.
What did this do in the U.S. charts? This is Wake Up.
39.
Next to you.
This is his top 40.
This is a 39. Just barely top 40,
just
but
barely.
It made it. So Casey Kasem might have played
for
this.
For 1 week.
Casey Kasem.
He did. He had to have, yeah.
Ad going out to,
here's a guy I've never heard of.
Can't get any traction here in America.
I mean,
zoinks!
Casey might have thought this. Casey probably thought this was his first album.
Yeah, here's a young kid coming out of England.
This is to Graham Parker and the Shot.
Yeah,
that's what the
band. A new band.
He
put
this.
A little new band together. The Shot. And
Brinsley Schwartz is still in there.
Yeah, I think it's one of those songs. Maybe one of like it's very. It's got a kind of a Motown thing to it. He was always very Motown. Influenced. He loved all those guys and soul singers, and he does a great cover of I Want You Back by the Jackson 5
yeah,
on his live
cover,
albums
yeah.
and stuff. Yeah.
So what is it? Introduce it.
This is I Want You Back. No, this is Wake Up Next to You.
All right, let's hear it, Mike.
Sleeping with an angel and this devil's in the light.
I wanted to get those ooh-oohs in there and that little keyboard flourish.
You could almost hear like Crowded House doing that in the 80s.
Yeah, and they would have had a top 10 hit.
Yeah, probably.
All right, here we go. From Steady Nerves, I chose Mighty Rivers.
Darling, wake up now. I'm making a promise that I'm gonna
like when I go to a used CD store, like I don't find a bunch of his albums in there. If they are, they're like the
well, they have to sell first to return them.
The more I know, they're like the more recent ones, the old stuff. It's difficult to find.
People like them and hang on to them, I guess.
Yeah, like I think I got a lot of this stuff on eBay and wasn't cheap when I bought it. But
oh, really?
I consider it an investment. So
in what?
Well, I mean, if there's something that's out of print or hard to find, and you pay X amount for it, if people are still looking for it and no one has re-released it yet.
What do you think the most valuable find you have? What did you find that's
well,
if you were going to resell it?
I can tell you what it was.
Okay.
You
sold it already.
Yeah, many years ago when eBay just started.
Okay.
John Waite's third solo album called Mask of Smiles. It was released on CD, but then really hard to find. Like really, really, really hard to find. And I sold it on eBay for $350.
Where did you get it?
I bought it when it came out.
Oh, okay.
I was living in Chicago, and I went.
That's a nice return.
Yeah, yeah. And see, at the time, Paul Gilmartin was able to, he was able to make a copy of a CD. Like he had, Paul always was on the, Like he had the technology before we could, but he told me, he goes, I can make copies of CDs. So he made a copy of it for me. And then I like made color copy of the liner notes and stuff. And I just put it together and I kept that copy and then sold the original.
Okay.
But I mean, now anyone can make
it. Right.
So listen. So
this is a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So this album was re-released on CD eventually. And the first time it was re-released, in the liner notes, it talks about one selling on eBay for upwards of $300. That's me. That's me. So,
did you tell him that story when John Waite story when he was in here?
I did not tell him that. I didn't know if he would. Hey, I love you. You're my favorite artist. I sold your CD for $350.
That was me.
In the liner notes. Now you heard a little. There's an air conditioned guy here right now fixing, so his phone went off. So.
Yeah. We'll That's give him a pass if it works.
Yeah, people know how it is. People deliver a pizza, we leave it in. No one cares. All right, we're moving on to the Mona Lisa's Sister. This is my favorite.
I love this album, and this he may have produced this himself or independently or.
Let's find out. The Mona Lisa's Sister. I'm going to tell you how I heard of this album too. This is produced by Graham Parker and Brinsley Schwartz, and they're now on RCA Records.
Yes, this is 88, mm-hmm. and this is like 3 years after.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't give a damn. He's like, I'm gonna make my own thing, and you know, if people don't buy it. And he went all out on this one. And this is the one where
Is this your favorite?
Well, it's sentimental too, because this is the year I got into him, because XRT really played this album. They really played the hell out of it.
And Pete Thomas from The Attractions plays on two tracks on this, which is interesting. So I moved here in 95. There used to be a used CD store right like a block from where we're recording right now. It's called Heavy Rotation. So this came out in 88. I'm in there probably 95, 96. And they're playing this album. The first song I like, the second song I like, third. I'm like, I just walked up. I said, what are you playing? And they're like, oh, it's this old Graham Parker, you know, 7 years old Graham Parker album called The Mona Lisa's Sister. I'm like, is that in here anywhere? Oh, yeah, there's probably a couple over there. This is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great album. It's great.
I actually brought two songs from this because I love
it.
Okay. So I'll go first. That way it'll be me, you, and then me. Okay, my song is Okay Hieronymus.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
one. Love it. I don't know what that word means. I don't know anything about it, but I love the song.
You can Google things now.
I should. This was the album where I was like, had a problem. Obviously I couldn't pick one, so I picked two, but it was really hard to narrow down even what the two were going to be.
Yeah, I know, me too.
So what did you pick?
I picked one that most people wouldn't think about, but every time I hear it, I think, for some reason, I think Melissa Etheridge should re-record it and crush this song. This is Under the Mask of Happiness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the dirt's lying under the carpet. Swallowed a drink and then checked the heartbeat. A wedding gown has been burned to ashes. Fanned by the feather of her false lashes. One last chance to kiss again. She looks so good. He looks so sane. Not forever could they last. Under the mask of happiness. Under the mask.
Great.
Isn't that a great song?
Love it. And then my next one from the Mona Lisa's Sister is Blue Highways.
Oh, I played this on this show before.
Yeah, I've played this before too. Right, Kerry Scott?
The kid's got a kid out of home. Don't knock that door. Don't knock at nobody's home.
mystery sign. Turn up and follow and blind. The interstate is jammed and crammed with exhaust mist. It only leads to somewhere y'all never miss. Y'all never miss. Get on the blue highways. Follow the blue highways.
Here's how good this album is. You know. Neither one of us picked one of the two singles.
Which were
Don't Let It Break You Down, which went to number 27 on the U.S. Modern Rock charts.
Modern Rock. So that may be, well, we're going to count that. Yeah.
And then Get Started, Start a Fire.
Start a Fire. That's a great song.
It's a great
song.
They're
both great.
They're both great songs.
Yeah. So this is a good one. I say this one, Squeezing Out Sparks, and maybe one of the first two.
Maybe Howlin' Wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the first one.
Yeah.
That's a nice little primer. Or get the big compilation, Rhino compilation.
Yeah. But this one's so good. All right. Now, you picked a song. I didn't pick a song off the live album, but I know you love Live Alone in America.
Yeah, Live Alone in America. I just, he's just a great performer with just him solo. And he's pretty, the songs kind of hold up. And this is just one that I got off a compilation. It was greatest hits, I think, 81 to 91.
Yeah.
This is called Soul Corruption. It's very political, but...
Greatest hits in quotes.
Yeah.
Here we go. Soul Corruption.
Soul Corruption. Yeah. From the bottom to the top. Yeah. From the top, 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 top to the bottom. Yeah. Right down deep. They say that we live in the nuclear future, but you feel like you're stuck in the past, in the sewer. Yeah. You think that's
a little reggae stuff. You look at his earlier albums too, there's always like one or two, like a reggae thing that, he was into that too.
Yeah.
At the same time, like the Clash was, and like a lot of people in London were at the time.
He does it okay though. I don't mind when he does it. You know, sometimes you're like, when REO Speedwagon does it, forget it.
You played that before.
Oh, it's so bad. Let's take one of our top three biggest hits
and
do a reggae version. Loving You.
That was awful.
I would play it, but I don't think I have it on hand.
No, anymore. I don't have the stomach for it. It's too hot in here to.
Let me see if I have it on hand.
Oh, no.
Oh, it says I have 58 REO Speedwagon songs in here. Oh, I've got to have it in here.
Hey, I see the temperature, the thermostat's lit up.
Nice.
That's a good sign.
That is a good
sign. I
don't
feel anything yet.
It'll come.
It started. Remove.
Ooh.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
You want me to show you? It's a new thermostat.
Oh, yeah. You can show me.
It's very simple. Very simple.
For recording this, Pat is looking at the thermostat. Jonathan's walking him through it.
Temperature can sit here. So let's say if I put it above 85, it's going to shut off.
Right.
So heat it up, whatever you want to do.
All right, let's crank it down to about 77 right now.
77. Okay. That's where he's putting it at. We're going with 77 degrees, folks. I don't know what that is in centigrade for you people overseas.
It's 85 in here right now. So
is it 85 in here?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
77 is going to be like an Alaskan cruise that you take.
Oh, man, I'm going to be freezing.
Where is that? What am I looking for? Where is it? Oh, here we go.
Don't play that REO.
No, you know what? I don't have it.
Oh, thank God.
I don't have that version. That's terrible. Everyone should have that version, reggae version. All right, let's move on to me. I don't have one from that live album, but let's go to the.
We usually don't do live albums, so we're moving on to the studio one.
We're going to go to Human Soul.
89.
We're closing out the 80s.
Closing out the 80s.
This song is called Dancing for Money.
One thing is certain, honey, we're not dancing for money.
dancing for money.
Yeah. I don't go back to this album that much, but it does have one of my favorite songs of his.
Are you going
to
play that one?
This is the one I'm playing. This is My Love Strong. It's a... He just got married. I think it's a lot of it. Love songs start right. coming in and family
hey
stuff.
Girl, don't you cry. My love beats adversity, baby. Eat a lie.
Good tune.
It's great.
Yeah, I don't listen to this one much either.
Yeah. That song, awesome.
Yeah, that's a good song. There's solid two or three songs on every album.
Yeah.
And some albums are strong throughout.
Yeah. Can't break that guy. Can't get him a deal.
No. Who produced this one? I didn't even look. That's how much I might not even know. This not even a listing on not a link you can click on.
Oh, really?
On Wikipedia.
Oh.
You can. This is the next album is the last one you can click on a link. This is Struck by Lightning from 1991. Yeah. It's on Denon Records. You know the very popular Denon.
D-E, spell that?
D-E-N-O-N.
Oh, Denon?
Nope. Demon Records.
Demon, yeah.
That's the old eyes talking. produced by Graham Parker, obviously. You can't hire a producer.
You wearing Invisalign glasses now?
Those would be contact
lenses. Oh, okay. Is that what they are?
Those would be... No, I do wear readers, but not when I do... I can still see this. At least I thought I could. I don't want to be dependent on the readers. If I'm reading a book, I got to wear them.
No, I get it.
Or, you know, but this I can see. This is a... You know,
I know, but you notice I'm holding my page just
way
far enough
far
out.
Away. Do you have readers?
Oh, yeah.
Prescription readers?
No. Total Rite Aid specials.
Get prescription readers because my optometrist said that both eyes are different and over-the-counter will mess you up.
Oh, really?
They'll make your eyes worse.
I'm getting messed up?
Yeah. You're getting fucked up.
Oh, man.
You're getting wasted with those
getting
glasses.
Wasted. It's making me all goofy-eyed.
Okay. Struck by Lightning. You're up.
Okay. This says... thanks,
later,
Jonathan. Thanks for the cool air, man. Keep it cool, buddy.
You too. Take care.
All right. How many people say that to him a day?
First of all, that guy knew we were fucking recording. And yeah. He yelled goodbye as he left. Is that because I didn't tip him or offer him a water or anything? We're in the middle of a thing right now.
Hey, he's going to overcharge you. Don't worry about it.
He's not going to charge me. This is all landlord money.
Yeah, darn right it is. That's why you rent.
Our rent goes up $3,000. All right. By the way, Patreon money goes to the rent. So thank you, Patreon people. And anyone who's not, $2 a month.
Come on.
Can I get on my high horse?
Yes,
50,
go 50 ahead.
50 cents a week.
Sell, man, sell.
50 cents a week.
Look how hard we're working here. We're sweating our balls off.
Are you
trying to
me?
Put together a show.
17 edits in this episode because of all the stop downs. And,
I had to go move my car.
Parking
I almost got
tickets.
A ticket.
Jonathan won't shut up. I mean, this is...
it's a mess. It's a lot of work.
People don't... People just think when we sit down here and talk, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, they get the tip of the iceberg. They don't see all the stuff under the water.
Post-production, and we pay to be on websites and all the stuff.
Yeah, your marriage suffers. They don't. They don't.
Literally, the lowest tier is $2. There's actually a dollar tier. Don't do that. You don't. That gets you nothing. But the $2 tier, you can win some fucking prizes.
Yeah, eight quarters.
I have great prizes coming up. I have Randy Bachman Blu-rays. I got Foreigner Blu-rays. Maybe these aren't great prizes. No, I have...
that's a load of wash in the laundromat.
I'm telling you, I don't want to be that guy, but they maybe don't have your coffee this week. Literally, it's 50 cents a week. 50. You can find that in your couch.
Yeah,
you
and I do sometimes.
Steal that from your kid's bank. Seriously. I'm telling you, you could go, if you work in an office... Every week, you could walk around and ask someone if they would lend you 50 cents. You could do that. You could do that once a week before you've tapped out everyone in there, and then you could get back in on it. And they would go,
shows.
Didn't I lend you 50 cents 2 months ago? You did, but do you have it? I just need it for the meter. All right, that's it.
All right, that's our pledge drive.
Patreon.com/ Rock Solid Podcast. Okay, here we go, Mike. You got...
This verse, if it's queued up like I had hoped.
It is queued up correctly.
It just sums up my life in so many ways. It's about travel. It's about minimalism. And it's got one of my favorite quotes in music. So go ahead. This is from Struck by Lightning. This is a brand new book.
I just want to let people know just what happened.
What happened?
As that song's playing, Jonathan, the air conditioner guy, walks back in, and I see you because my back's to the door. You motion to him, and I turn around, and he's talking. Yeah, he's talking. I just gave him.
We got our headphones on.
I just gave him. Yeah, we're cranking music. I just gave him a thumbs up, and he. I don't know. He could say, "Don't turn that lower than 60, or the building will blow up." I don't know. I just gave him a thumbs up. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we're listening to music.
Yeah, on your bike, buddy.
Get moving. Does he still want a tip? Is that why he's coming back
maybe.
In here?
Hey, in case you guys forgot, I'm still here, and I do take tips.
I even tip the guy, the gardener. I give him water. What am I going to do?
But that lyric was great. It was great. Yeah, I got more than most people have, a little less than a few, but you can measure these things by weight. They either drag you down or they lift you. Come on!
Yeah, you can't
That's great! Graham Parker!
Can't take it with you.
Oh.
Have fun with it.
I love and it opens with a great line. It goes, I once read the story of somebody's life. I had a few moments to spare. It's like, oh, yeah. I just read the story of your life. I have a few moments. Ooh, that hurts.
Which book? Did you start the Paul Simon book or the John Fogerty book?
I haven't started either yet.
All right.
Oh, those will take, I got 6 weeks on a cruise coming up.
Okay, so take them with you. All right. My song from Struck by Lightning is They Murdered the Clown.
Oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
A bit pasting down, dying as he watched to get out of town. The lions and the tigers have gnawed at his feet, but the lion tamers whip her much more than their teeth. The Giovanni sisters performed in a sweat. Someone cut holes in the safety net. The Rizzo brothers canceled at the last minute, but no one missed their act. There wasn't much in it. After the show that night,
I love that song.
Yeah, that's great. They wiped that grin right off his face. Love it. So this is about the. So now we're up. That was 91.
Yeah, and I have no info on any of these albums now.
Yeah, and I think
I should have brought them with me.
Maybe his. That might have been the end of that record contract as well. And I think now for the next one, on 92, he's on maybe Atlantic?
Maybe. He's been on all of them.
And
this is Burning Questions.
And this one didn't do anything, and that was it. It was done. He was done.
Yeah.
With major labels, I think.
He's not done with us. We still got a couple more albums. But okay.
Now he's into his 40s. It's the 90s, and they've moved on. You know, the big... How many more times can you, how many chances can you get?
Like the diehard fans are still excited when an album comes out.
Right.
It's like, it's kind of like Marshall Crenshaw.
Yeah.
And yet Marshall Crenshaw.
They are similar in that way.
Yeah, but like Marshall Crenshaw, he looked like a cool kind of a dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Little spiky hair, little flat top. You know.
He had more of an Elvis Costello look.
Yeah, I mean, now he wears like a pork pie hat. Is that what you call him? But in a little goatee. Still
but I
looks...
remember playing Marshall Crenshaw on college radio in the 80s.
Yeah.
I didn't play Graham Parker.
No. So it was your fault.
It was me.
You could have got that
but there were,
college crowd.
There were certain colleges that did, but we were heavy into, I had my REM. I guess we played more American bands. Independent bands then.
Well.
And probably still do.
Crenshaw's from America.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You have a good haircut right now. Did they do this on the set of your commercial? No, that's a good haircut.
No.
You go to the same person?
Did I go to the same person?
Do you go to the same person all the time? Get your haircut.
I go to this guy, Sam. He's fantastic.
I love that joke.
It's right in his name. Right in the name. This guy's fantastic. fantastic.
See, the place I go, they do, it's super. They
do they cut
they
there?
They do super, yeah. Their cuts are,
that's
their
great.
Cuts are super.
Yeah.
No, I actually started to go.
$18 right there you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, but you have a good head of hair. They can't mess that up.
Well, it's getting harder to
harder
maintain.
To what? Maintain. What do you mean, maintain?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean maintain?
Oh, the sunblock's going up a little higher up on the forehead days.
That's not much higher. All right, burning questions. Mike, you have a song called?
This is Release Me. I believe this is the opening song. On the.
I can still hear your twang.
It may have been the single.
Your perfume I still smell. You bought it way down below the Mason-Dixon line. Like your mother, you're a Southern belle. I said, release me, but please don't let me know. Release me, but please don't let me go. Yeah.
Again, fine. And you'll find like two or three songs on every album that are great.
Yeah, like this one. I'm going to go with Too Many Knots to Untangle.
I don't understand telepathy, but I am thinking of you. I'm going to get my feelings across the gulf that divides me and you. It's when the doors get locked and the windows are shuttered, the oaths get broken and the curses are muttered. Stop us from burning out, just like a candle, with too many knots to untangle.
I think we played two good ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, and it did nothing, and that's when the record company went, okay, we're out. We're out. And then we move on to like 3 years later.
12 haunted episodes.
I had nothing from this. I had to go dig deep.
I have a gap in my CD collection. I don't even have this album.
No, it was it might have been independent or run very small label.
Yeah.
And it's really stripped down. It's very like personal and
so
really
I don't
kind
even
of
have one.
It's like his Nebraska album.
Yeah. So
but it's all about marriage and kids and mostly.
And this is
family.
Pollinate.
That's what you picked that one too?
No, I don't even have this album. I'm only put.
Oh, really? I had to dig out on YouTube. I
had to
it.
Buy this song on Amazon.com.
Okay. This is Pollinate. This is one of the more upbeat ones.
I would never pull it from YouTube. That's stealing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The
yeah.
guy's going to get
the guy needs money,
3 cents in 2020. Here we go, Pollinate.
I can feel it in the air. I can smell you everywhere. I don't know if you're receptive. So I will play the love detective. 'Cause when the bees buzz and the apple blossom, they don't think about their fate. Wake up now, don't hibernate. The birds are singing on the garden gate. The fruit is sweet upon your plate. Come on, baby, don't berate me. Let me in, you know you saved me when we pollinate. Ooh.
13 years after Nebraska.
Yeah. Right, but it's all like, I mean, it's all really stripped down. It has all the marks of like made in your home studio.
Yeah, that guy ripped me off. Yeah.
And that's one of the more upbeat ones. I mean, they're more, you know, it's a lot of love songs and
yeah, that's a
stuff
good
about his daughter and stuff like that. It's not bad, but
so the
it's not going to wake up the party.
No. The last, this next album, Acid Bubblegum, this is released on Razor and Tie. I remember that.
Yes.
And I remember this was like, this got good reviews.
I want to say I saw him at the Bottom Line in New York during promoting this.
Well, if you want to say it, just say it.
It must have been because I was living there in 96 and that's when this came out. So, and he was playing the Bottom Line, which is, it's a nightclub. I mean, he's not playing in a theater.
No. No,
and Mark
no.
Maron was at that show.
Wow.
I remember that.
Did you know Mark Maron then?
No. Oh, I knew who he was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know him personally, but I remember he was...
Did you know him because of some asshole thing he did?
Yeah. Well, people were yelling out songs, you know, it's a nightclub.
Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody yelled, Three Martini Lunch, which I played on this.
Yes.
And I looked over and it was Mark Maron.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh, okay, we both like the same song.
So you got, and you're both funny.
Yeah, well.
Well, one of you's funny.
Yeah.
You're getting there though.
Yeah.
Hey, you're special. Talk about it before I forget.
Okay. Yes, it's on Dry Bar Comedy.
It's very expensive.
VidAngel.
How much to watch
it's
that?
It's a dollar. It's a dollar. Look, four quarters. You can find that in your car and the cushions of your couch.
I can't get $2 a month. I can't imagine that they're going to buy this for $1.
Go rent it. And drybarcomedy.com or VidAngel is the production company. It's out there.
I haven't watched
my
it yet.
YouTube, it's on my Facebook page.
I keep forgetting to watch it. And Mike
it's
Schmidt,
a dollar.
Mike Schmidt told me it is amazing.
Oh, that's nice of him to say.
He said, dude, Siegel's a good comic.
Did he?
Go, is he?
That's nice.
No. He said really great.
Oh, thanks.
We weren't I'll talking about you. He wrote me
some nice messages. So that was really nice.
Yeah.
Of him to,
so he's a
he
fan.
Did sit through it. It's 35. It's like 35 minutes.
It's great.
It's clean. It's family friendly.
I was just gonna say it's great. I haven't seen it. It's great.
It's family friendly, and it's called Have Jokes, We'll Travel.
I'm gonna watch
it's
it.
It's on there amongst all the other specials out there. So
yeah, but
thanks
it's
for
yours.
Bringing it up.
But it's yours.
Yeah. And, you know.
What's it called again?
And it's called Have Jokes, We'll Travel.
Did you get to pick that name yourself?
I did.
It's pretty good.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of an old reference. I don't know how old.
Yeah, well, if kids don't know it's an old reference, then they'll be like, that's a pretty good title.
Yeah. I was really going to go with Passport Protected, because I know there's travel stuff on it.
Passport Protected.
And somebody else had Password Protected, and I was like, that's too close.
Yeah,
too
it close. Is too close.
So, there you go.
Why didn't you call it TSA Precheck?
I don't know.
All right, this is Acid Bubblegum. I'll play mine, then you play yours, and then I've got the play out, and we'll talk a little bit. We'll promote,
okay.
And then we'll go. Then I'll go lose upwards of $40 at cards.
This was his response a year later to the Mellow album. He's like, let me see if we can rock it up again one more time. And so it's a little more aggressive, and it's
a cool album cover too.
A little
too.
Band, yeah.
All right, I'm gonna play a song called again. This is Acid Bubblegum, 1996. This is Sharpening Axes. Again, Sharpening Axes. There we go.
I'm not selling molasses. I'm not pushing tea. I don't appeal to the masses, and they don't appeal to me. I'm not peddling fiction.
Tune.
Yes. The guy can write a song.
Yep.
He can.
I don't know. You know, who knows what he means when he says sharpening axes. Maybe that means I'm going to continue to record albums and continue to tour. And by the way, I wanted to say the show we saw was at the Roxy.
Yeah.
Who else was on that show? Lindsey Buckingham opened.
Ryan Adams,
Lindsey Buckingham, and then Graham Parker and The Rumor.
And The Rumor.
It was The Rumor. And Judd was there.
It was the year they were promoting the movie.
Yep, and I think David Wilde was there too, but we didn't see
him. I wouldn't
doubt
it. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, it's at the Roxy. The Roxy is...
intimate.
How many does that hold?
Oh, God. Maybe 300, yeah. 200?
I had to tiptoe it to see.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right. Yeah, yeah. It was all standing only.
Yeah. A lot of tall dudes like Graham Parker.
Yeah, and Graham Parker's like 5'5",
yeah,
maybe.
So that doesn't help.
No.
Because the stage is elevated, but not really elevated.
Hey, you know who didn't stand up even? Ryan Adams
sitting in a chair. You
yes. Yeah. We can't see you.
I can't.
You
even,
pretentious asshole.
I can't even remember. Lindsey Buckingham only played like 4 songs.
Yeah, he didn't play that much.
And then right out of there.
Yep. And deep bow. Deep.
deep bow the whole way?
Of course.
Did arms go out?
Maybe. I wouldn't doubt it.
Did his hair touch the floor?
It was theatrical. It was overly pretentious. It was. But yeah, man,
remember,
he can play that guitar.
He's not feeling good right now.
He can play that guitar, though. Play the hell out of it.
Yeah. Wonder if he'll be able to sing after all this stuff happens.
I don't know.
I don't know either. He'll still be able to play.
Will it still be able to piss off Stevie Nicks? Probably could.
Probably could, yeah. Probably
if he's got the energy.
He can write stuff down and hold it up.
As long as there's strength in his bones,
he's
going
to piss
off.
okay, this is your last song from Acid Bubblegum.
Acid Bubblegum. This is Bubblegum Cancer. He kind of rocks it up here.
All right.
Now all the little children had no pipe, but there was no one left to
That could have been on an earlier album, like from the 70s.
Yep. Now, I told you that I was hoping that we could get this done in 90 minutes. I'm going to tell you, it's 1 hour and 38 minutes. And I believe with the edits, because I just let it keep running.
And we ran outside.
And there's a little recording at the beginning. I bet we're going to get it down to, this is going to be 90 minutes.
I think so.
I think that's a nice
way. My shows are tight.
That's a nice way to introduce people to Graham Parker.
I think so. And
90 minutes.
Look up there. I mean, there's so much stuff out there, and get into it.
Yeah, check it out.
Him if he comes to your town. He's still out there.
Yeah,
he's still got to make a buck.
Needs some money.
Yeah, and I think he knows where he's at in this life, and
him and
have some acceptance. I think after
him and Marshall Crenshaw should tour together.
They live kind of near each other. I think Graham Parker's still in upstate New York, and we know Marshall Crenshaw lives up there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
so there you go. All right, let's do some promoting. Mike, you are at
funnymike.com and traveltalespodcast.com and traveltalespod on Twitter and traveltalespodcast on Instagram and Funny Mike on Twitter.
Why couldn't you brand that? Why couldn't you get it all the same? All three of those things.
Traveltalespodcast doesn't fit on Twitter.
Yeah, we're Rock Solid Show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonder if we should have been Rock Solid Pod. I don't know.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Oh, well. Podcast didn't fit.
They'll find you. If people want to find you, they'll find you.
We're at Rock Solid Show. I'm at Pat_Francis. Kyle isn't Kyle Dotson Funny. Kyle will be here in a couple, beginning of August. I'm going to try to record one or two shows with him while he's here.
I am doing a stand-up dates back in Chicago in October.
Where 14th, 15th. Zanies?
Yes. 14th, 15th. My birthday, the 14th. 14th, 15th, Monday and Tuesday, I'll be downtown Zanies. And then that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 17th through the 19th, I'll be in St. Charles, the Zanies in St. Charles.
Do you want listeners of your podcast and this podcast to come up and say hi after the show? Do you like
sure,
that?
Sure, why not?
What if you bombed?
Then I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to know.
All right. So
I'd like you all to stay off social media.
If you sense that the crowd wasn't into Mike the night you're there, maybe you don't talk to him. I met so many great people through this show. It's really fun. Josh Fitzgerald's going to be back in August. We're going to record a couple shows. We're going to do Elton John in the 70s. And Mike.
That'll be fun.
And we're going to do a show that you can stay away from. Yes, in the 70s.
Oh, no. In the 2019s.
Still working to get John Anderson on here, folks. I have not gotten the no yet.
Does he live here?
Yeah, he lives in Santa Barbara. I said I'll go up to his house.
Oh. Nice.
Supposed to have Sherry Curry on here from The Runaways. Supposed to have Mike Peters from The Alarm on.
You're putting it out there. You're putting it out in the universe, and fingers maybe it'll crossed. Happen.
Well, I've had a back and forth, so we'll see what happens.
Well, you don't want to miss John Anderson's house at the roundabout. Oh, look what I did there. Come on now.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. I guess that's all the promoting. Also, I want to say, I was making fun of the Patreon. I totally appreciate everyone who does support the show through Patreon. And look, I know that some people can't do it or don't want to or whatever. This podcast is free and it's out there. And all the episodes can be found on art19.com. All the episodes can still be found on iTunes. Is there like a number where iTunes then doesn't
cut you off?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't
or by age, you mean? Maybe there'll be like a 10-year-old episode or something?
I don't know. I mean, we're in our ninth season right now, and there's, 422 episodes up. I guess they just keep them all up there, right?
Yeah, endless memory.
Let's find out what's going to happen when it goes to, when the new service comes in September.
What's happening?
They're going to split, iTunes is going to be split up between your podcasts, your music, and your movies. It's going to be three separate things. So I don't know what that'll mean for...
So it's going to make all our phones and computers obsolete and we'll have to buy new ones?
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to do. I know, but we'll see.
And we're going to change the plug size just a little bit so everything you have doesn't fit anymore. Yeah,
and you'll only have to buy our headphones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like when... Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But okay, we're going to close it out with a song that was on MTV and one of his more well-known songs from Squeezing Out Sparks. Mike, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And this is Local Girls. Don't bother with them.
Don't bother with them.
They don't bother me.
Nope.